Let's continue reading verses 5 through 11 of the Epistle of Jude. Now in this section, Jude warns his readers of the dangers of falling away from the faith by giving three examples from the Old Testament. Jude, verse 5. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day, as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities around them, in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. They have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit and perished in the rebellion of Korah. Once again, some background notes. We don't know for sure who Jude was writing to, but the fact that there are a number of references to the Old Testament people and events, it's a good indication that the recipients of Jude's epistle were Jewish Christians. Jude is writing for the purpose of exposing the false teachers who were already in the early church. Verse 4, once again, for certain men have crept in unnoticed, ungodly men, who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. These false teachers were not backsliders. They were apostates. Do you understand the difference? A backslider is a true believer, but has wandered away from the Lord and His Word. An apostate is a professing Christian, but not a true believer. Apostates have turned away from the truth, even though they may still be going to church. Jude is referring to false teaching apostates in this letter, not backsliders, apostates. And here in this portion of Jude, we have three examples given from the Old Testament to show how God judged those who turned away from the truth in the past. The first Old Testament example is the generation that came out of Egypt but perished in the wilderness because of unbelief. Verse 5, but I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. The second example is the case of the angels who left their proper abode. Verse 6, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. What's that all about anyway? We believe that these are the fallen angels that we read about in Genesis before the flood. I'm reading Genesis chapter 6, the first two verses. Now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. Now, there are other interpretations for this passage, but you can build a very good biblical case that the sons of God, here in Genesis 6, are fallen angels. And this is the event Jude is referring to here in verses 6 and 7 of the Epistle of Jude. Notice that verse 7 indicates that it was a sexual sin that these fallen angels were involved in. Now, exactly how all of this took place, the Bible doesn't tell us. Presumably, the angels left their God-given realm and took on the bodies of men and committed this sin. The third example of those who turned away from God and His truth is the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them. Verse 7, once again, as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. The people of Sodom and Gomorrah and those cities of the plain left God's natural order and were involved in gross immorality. For this defiance of God, they were judged then with fire from heaven and will suffer the vengeance of eternal fire in hell, as we read there in verse 7. Now in verses 8 through 10, Jude draws a parallel between these Old Testament examples and the false teachers of Jude's day who had infiltrated the church. Verses 8 and 10 would seem to leave no doubt that these false teachers were involved in sexual immorality. Verse 8 again, likewise also these dreamers, these false teachers of Jude's day, these dreamers defile the flesh. And the end of verse 10 once again, like brute beasts in these things, they corrupt themselves. Jude is definitely drawing a parallel between the sinners of Sodom and Gomorrah and what sins they were involved in with these present false teachers in the church of Jude's day. In the early church, they had crept in. You know, the same is true of many false teachers in the church today. You don't have to look very far to see that false teaching and immorality go together. These false teachers not only rejected God's authority in the moral area, but they rejected all authority and showed no spiritual reverence. Again, verse 8, likewise also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. These verses indicate that it is wrong to speak of the angelic ranks with scorn and contempt. These are realms that are beyond our limited knowledge and must be left with the Lord. Remember, these Gnostic false teachers thought they knew everything about the spiritual realms, but Jude says they were woefully ignorant. Why, even Michael the Archangel, verse 9, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Now, where did Jude get this information anyway? This is not in the Old Testament. We don't know for sure. It may have been through tradition, which, because Jude says it as an inspired writer, is reliable. On the other hand, the Lord may have revealed it to him. Remember, Jude was writing by inspiration. In any case, can you imagine the shrine which would have been built for Moses if Satan had control over the location of Moses' dead body? Remember, God prevented all of this when he buried Moses in the land of Moab, and no one knows the location of Moses' grave to this day. Deuteronomy 34, verse 6. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points for this section of the Epistle of Jude. Doctrinal point number one, false teachers take the way of Cain. False teachers take the way of Cain. Verse 11, woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. What is the way of Cain, anyway? It is thinking that you can approach God on the basis of human efforts. Remember, Cain refused to come to God by the way of sacrifice. He tried to come on the basis of his own good works. Listen, approaching God on the basis of human merit and good works is not God's way of salvation. Our good works could never measure up to God's standards. Salvation is only found by trusting Christ as Savior. He gave his life as the perfect sacrifice and died for our sins. This is God's way of salvation. But false teachers take the way of Cain. Doctrine point number two. False teachers rush for profit into the error of Balaam. False teachers rush for profit into the error of Balaam. Verse 11, again. Woe to them! They have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit. The story of Balaam is found in Numbers chapters 22 through 24. Balaam was a diviner, a false prophet, hired by Balak, the king of Moab, to curse Israel. But instead of cursing Israel, Balaam blessed Israel and even spoke a messianic prophecy. For this reason, some folks have a hard time condemning Balaam. But this passage in Jude makes it clear that Balaam was a false prophet. God so controlled Balaam on that occasion in Numbers that he blessed Israel and uttered a true prophecy, even though he was not a true prophet of God. Read the whole record in Numbers and see how Balaam counseled Balak to get Israel involved in idolatry and immorality. And see how Balaam was in it for the money. He preached for profit. This is the error of Balaam. It characterizes false teachers then and today. Listen, there would be a lot fewer false teachers around today if there was no money to be made in religion, right? As it is, there are big bucks to be made in religion today, and the false teachers know it. They preach what people want to hear and collect the cash. False teachers rush for profit into the error of Balaam. Doctrinal point number 3, false teachers perish in the rebellion of Korah. False teachers perish in the rebellion of Korah. Verse 11 once again, woe to them, they have perished in the rebellion of Korah. We read about Korah's rebellion in Numbers chapter 16. Korah and the others who joined Korah revolted against Moses and Aaron. Korah would not acknowledge that God had put Moses and Aaron into authority positions. Korah was a Levite, but he was not satisfied just with tabernacle service. He wanted to be in authority. Well, God had to judge Korah and those who rebelled with him. Korah was swallowed up alive in an earthquake that God sent as judgment. God hates insubordination to the authority structures that he has set up, whether it be in the home or in the church. False teachers hate to submit to any kind of authority, especially if it goes against their false teaching. Look at the religious false teachers posing as authorities today. They appear on many of the talk shows where they are invited guests. Like the Gnostic false teachers of Jude's day, they think they know everything, but they are woefully ignorant. God has ways of bringing them into judgment now and in the final judgment. False teachers perish in the rebellion of Korah. Practical application from this second section of the Epistle of Jude. Don't be a prophet for profit. Don't be a prophet for profit. The sins of verse 11 are in reference to false teachers, but true believers must be careful not to commit some of these sins. Take the error of Balaam, for example. True believers can end up preaching for profit. It's very easy to fall into the trap of only preaching what people want to hear, especially if they're paying your salary or giving you an honorarium. So remember, all of us, don't be a prophet for profit.